Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Hey, Fred, you know this because I think we were exchanging messages last night, or I sent it also to Jennings because, you know, he's a big Cardinals fan, Scott Jennings. But the Cardinals are moving Wilson Contreras to first base. That seems like a pretty good idea at this point, right? We'll talk about it with Scotty Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. We got to say that now. He's coming up at 4:45. Our friend Ilya Shapiro is here. Of course, he's the Director of Constitutional Studies at the Manhattan Institute. Ilya, welcome back to the show. How are you feeling on this Thursday post-election?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, better than 4 years ago or 8 years ago. That, you know, we still hadn't called these things. I'm so happy that, even though California takes 3 weeks to, we might not know the House for a while, but at least the presidential is done and clear who's going to control the Senate.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of people on both sides maybe agree that it was better that it was more decisive just in moving forward. On the topic of the election, let me get first your thoughts on this. We played this yesterday. This is the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James.
So here we are. We've studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks.
Wow, it sounds like they're ready for riots in the aftermath of somebody getting shot by a white police officer. But that's her job as Attorney General, to prepare for Donald Trump's administration, huh?
Well, this is the new reality. When a Democrat's in the White House, the red state AGs get ready to sue and vice versa. So I'm sure we're going to see the same sort of legal resistance over whatever the day one executive actions are going to be. And that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I guess, look, we got a Republican attorney general here who was just elected, Andrew Bailey, who had been appointed. And there's definitely that office is definitely used for things related to politics. But wow, I thought that was interesting going out there right away. Now, the reality of a lot of these cases against Trump, though, is they're not going to really go anywhere anymore, are they?
I think that's right. Well, the ones against him personally, yeah. We've already gotten news out from the Justice Department that Jack Smith is winding down his investigation. So probably he's not going to wait until Trump takes office and fires him. Who knows what's going to happen with the appeal of the New York conviction? I mean, clearly no court is going to allow Trump to be sentenced while in office. So that's going to be on pause, if not dismiss altogether. The Georgia prosecution is in chaos, so that's not going anywhere. So yeah, the Trump personally is out, but in terms of the lawfare against the various executive actions and whatnot, I think courts are better prepared this time around, and there's going to be less of kind of a frenzy in the popular culture. A lot of what Trump says and kind of the his style has been internalized already. So even though those on the left might not like his policies in the area, whether it be immigration or education or anything else, it's going to feel, more like a conventional Republican presidency in that respect.
But on the immigration front in particular, I mean, I would anticipate a lot of challenges to whatever he's going to try to do from the left, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What form could that take? Like if he, I don't know all the particulars of the executive orders, but if he stamps an executive order sort of reversing what Biden does, are there lanes for legal challenges even for that?
I mean, lawyers are at the ready. We're in a litigious society. A lot of things can be slapped down rather quickly. And you live by the executive action, you die by the executive action. So certain things that Trump put in that Biden simply reversed, well, Trump can re-reverse them. The handling of the border and certain things certain regulations that Biden has put in. Similarly, now, if it's a regulation that's been put in by an agency after the full notice and process through the Administrative Procedure Act, that takes a lot longer to unwind and can't be done simply with an executive action.
Ilya, one of the things I said yesterday, I did a bunch of post-election shout-outs. Some of them were full of snark, some of them weren't. And one of the things I said is I'm very happy post-election for Clarence Thomas. And the reason I said that is because I feel like Clarence Thomas can now retire and maybe enjoy some years of retirement without worrying about Kamala Harris appointing his replacement. And I don't know that I'm too off mark on that. What would you expect in the next term? You got a couple of guys that are getting older, right?
Right. Alito is now 74. Thomas is 76. I would expect Alito to go first. He seems more ready to leave. He's accomplished a lot, you know, authored Dobbs and all the rest of it. So I would expect him to, well, not expect, but it's more likely than not that he announces his retirement in the spring of 2025. And then Thomas, you know, now with this Senate result, Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania was just called, meaning Republicans are up to 53, which makes a Democratic takeover in 2026 less likely. Thomas might even stick around until 2027, until Trump's third year.
That's interesting. So, is Alito's health not quite as good as Clarence's?
No, I have no idea how their relative health is, but it just seems like, you know, Thomas has long said, I'm never leaving this, you're going to have to carry me out. And he also might want to set the record for longevity, most years at the Supreme Court. I think that would take him into 2027 to beat William O. Douglas's record of I forget how long it is, but that's where we stand there. And the scuttlebutt is that Alito is ready to leave at the right time, and this could be an ideal time.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, look, there's definitely going to be opportunities. I think people on the the Trump side of the equation would have been very concerned about some of this. Although, I guess you'd know more about this than I. But it seems like if there's any risk that someone would be replaced by a president on the other side, they basically try to keep them on life support as long as possible because they don't want that to happen.
I think that's right. And then not just the president of the other side, but the Senate. We haven't had a confirmation process with divided government since Clarence Thomas in 1991. And remember what kind of farce that was.
Oh, yes.
We're not going to face that now, obviously. But that would introduce a different dynamic where a president would potentially nominate someone different than he would if he had the support of the Senate. Barack Obama tried to do that with Merrick Garland in 2016. Unique situation with, a legend, Scalia, dying in an election year. We have to go back to 1888 to find an election year confirmation under divided government. But we don't have to deal with that divided government scenario.
That's interesting. For a while. You mentioned 1991. I was thinking about all the crazy things, and we've been through a crazy period in politics, probably, I would say, since 2008, maybe before that. There's never a dull moment. But if you take younger people that weren't around, or maybe they were alive but weren't paying attention, that was nuts back then. Obviously, with Senator Danforth from Missouri, highly and heavily involved in that. But that was a crazy, crazy time with Clarence Thomas and those hearings.
That and, of course, Bork 4 years earlier in 1987, that was all before the Internet, of course. It wasn't a 24-hour news cycle. You get the paper in the morning, and that's it. And then you have, live TV. But it wasn't full wall-to-wall network coverage. Things were very different. In fact, Bork, one of the reasons why Bork may have gone the way it was, he was rejected, was because those were the first hearings that were televised by C-SPAN at the time. Wall to wall. Just a coincidence, but that's kind of the modern age of the confirmation process.
Absolutely. Ilya Shapiro from the Manhattan Institute, always great to hook up with you. I hope you're getting a little sleep post-election. We'll have you back soon. Thank you, Ilya.
Thank you. Take care.
Right, take care. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. I'm going to have to practice saying that. Dave Simons, who is the host of the Dollars and Cents show on the other side of the building on CamoX, will talk about some of the rate I was going to say hikes, but they reduced rates at the Fed today. And then a friend of mine who's a police officer put this on my radar, and we're going to investigate this, Sue, a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. John Frank, who is a retired police officer, the dynamics of this are rather unique. He joined a group of other retired police officers who run a policing podcast. And you know me.
Oh, that's interesting.
I try to prioritize, publish or
Podcasting
and promoting podcasting is what I was going to say. I'm kind of kidding about that. But look, they are calling for the pardon of a guy for a robbery in 1988 in which he was sentenced to life in prison, Paige Spears. And these are a group of cops that say this guy just didn't do it. And this is something I understand is sitting on Governor Parson's desk right now. And we'll find out a little bit more from John in the next hour. I think it's an interesting case, plus an audio cut of the day and more.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.